with conditions like we're currently having around the region, the fire season can't be very far off. And with the general conditions created by a long drought, fires themselves are likely to be both numerous and large this year. So let's get the view from the people preparing for the months ahead, fire officials in both of our states. On the phone, we have Daniel Berlant from CAL FIRE. He's a public information officer. Daniel, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Good to have you back. Bob Schumacher is with us as well. He's the Community FireWise Coordinator from Grants Pass Fire Rescue. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Daniel, let's start with you. CAL FIRE obviously is in a big state, so have you been fairly busy thus far already?
Yeah, absolutely. Our fire season really started several months ago. In fact, since January 1st, statewide, we've responded to over 1,700 wildfires, where in a normal year, that number would be closer to about 900. So almost twice as many wildfires already. And that's not just in Southern California, where San Diego County has made the news of the last couple of weeks with Santa Ana winds there. We are seeing fires up and down the state just because, as you mentioned earlier, the drought conditions have left California very, very dry.
There must be parts of California where fire season is already officially in effect.
Yeah, actually, we opened up fire season in most areas several weeks ago in Southern California, several months ago. In Siskiyou County, several weeks ago, we began fire season. So we are well into what would typically be our summertime conditions. Again, that drought has really amped and increased the drying conditions several months earlier than normal. So we've had to staff up several months earlier, and we're asking the public to be prepared as well several months earlier.
And what is the force of the declaration? I mean, what does that do in the way of mobilizing any sorts of resources for fighting fire?
It allows us to start hiring seasonal firefighters. Mm-hmm. We start restricting some outdoor burning. And it's a huge public awareness for the public to make sure that they are taking steps to prevent fires. In January, we actually started hiring seasonal firefighters. That process usually happens in May, but we brought on seasonal firefighters in January because of the increase in fire activity. We even had a 300-acre fire in Humboldt County along the coast. That's the county where we see the most rainfall in California. 300 acres in January really just has shown us how dry our conditions are.
And Daniel, specifically, what do those red flag warnings mean? I mean, I gave a sort of a thumbnail sketch, but what are the...
So the red flag warning that's in effect for the National Weather Service stretches all the way from Redding down to through Sacramento, down to the Bay Area and into Modesto. That red flag warning is due to low humidity and extremely gusty winds. Yesterday we saw very gusty winds throughout the Sacramento Valley. It's a heightened fire danger. We increase our staffing. We make sure we have extra firefighters on duty and ready to respond. But we also remind the public of their role. Almost every fire we respond to here in California is caused by people. And so it's really important during these red flag warnings that our residents be extra cautious. Now, even if you don't live within one of those red flag warning areas, in California, our fire danger level is much higher than it would normally be this time of year, and everybody needs to take that extra caution and be prepared.
Bob Schumacher, Grants Pass Fire Rescue Community FireWise Coordinator. One of the things that Daniel mentioned rings a bell for stuff happening perhaps differently on the Oregon side of the line. What is the current situation with outdoor burning?
Outdoor burning is still allowed in those areas that allow outdoor burning, of course permitted, you know, making sure the air quality is good enough to burn on that day. Southwest Oregon has not gone into fire season yet. We are fairly close to that. That calls up to the Oregon Department of Forestry. One of the things, since we're not in fire season yet, people still can burn. A couple of reminders is they need to start early in the morning and pay attention to the weather forecast for afternoon winds. Monitor their burns at all time and extinguish them completely before dark, and then check it again the next day to make sure it's completely out.
All right, so a bunch of precautions to take. And then how much longer is outdoor burning likely to go on? Is there a specific date by which it's always over, or does it coincide with fire season?
It coincides with fire season when Oregon Department of Forestry makes a call on that. This year, the moisture content in the fuels is about the same point where it was last year. So it could possibly be going there within a couple weeks.
All right. So at the same point in the year? I mean, we're not talking about July conditions yet, or are we there?
No. We're basically the same conditions we were last year at this time, and we were kind of ahead of a schedule about a month ahead last year. As far as the dryness goes, and we're pretty close this year. The spring rains have kind of held off a little bit on it. It's given us a little bit of slack on that, but the summer is predicted to be dry and below normal precipitation, so It's coming.
All right, so the rains did give you a little bit of breathing room, though. That's the important thing. You have gotten a little bit of a respite, a little delay anyway, let's put it that way.
Yeah, a little bit, but sometimes people get the misconception that a little rain makes it fine to burn and the stuff doesn't dry out again, and it will dry out very quickly.
All right, we're talking about fire season approaching. It's already in effect on the California side. Daniel Berlant is with us from Cal Fire. Bob Schumacher here in the studio from Grants Pass Fire Rescue. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Now, granted, you work in somewhat different departments here. So Grants Pass Fire Rescue, is there much coverage outside city limits of Grants Pass or into rural areas anyway?
There is a little bit. Our coverage is mainly within the city limits and the urban growth boundary. We do have mutual aid agreements with different fire agencies. In fact, both counties have a very sophisticated mutual aid agreement. So we can go on fires outside of the city. Our crews are trained in wildland firefighting, so they have the capability of doing that. The city departments, mainly when it comes to a wildfire, their job is mainly structure protection, making sure the structures are okay. But they do get involved in grass fires. Right now we probably have two small grass fire calls a day.
Really?
From burn piles that have gotten out of hand.
Well, it generally is the burn piles then, huh?
Yeah.
Have there been some close calls in recent years with the urban wildland interface? I mean, given that you have, it's easy to see from I-5 as you drive mm-hmm. through Grants Pass that you've had houses push well up into the hills in recent years.
Yeah, well, last year we of course had that big fire along I-5 that happened on May 31st. That the cause of that was probably a catalytic converter that failed in a car, because it started several fires between the two exits and it burned 115 acres very quickly. And it was at the end of May, which is early for that type of fire. Had it happened in July and August, it would have been much worse than it was. And we had, in the two-county area, we had 330 fires last year. And, of course, the most severe ones were the lightning-caused ones in Josephine County and Douglas County.
That's that fire along Interstate 5 prompts the question about whether there's any particular protection patrols, anything you're going to do differently. I-5 can be a problem there. I mean, somebody drags a chain, that should be enough of a spark to start a fire.
Yeah, fires can start very easily. We've done some fire fuel reduction on the west side of I-5. We did that last year. And we always encourage homeowners to do the things around their house to make their structure safer from wildfire, because there are things people can do to protect their house.
We've talked a lot about defensible space on the broadcast in recent weeks, getting people ready for fire season. As you look around, have a lot of people gotten the message?
Some people have. Surprisingly, some people have, some people haven't. The one thing that is a concern in the urban environment is people think they're immune from wildfire danger because they're not surrounded by trees. And the embers from wildfires can travel up to a mile from the actual fire. So if they have not done the things to prepare their house, like raking the leaves away from the foundation and getting the leaves out of the gutter and off the roof, then their home is susceptible to embers. Statistics show that over half of the houses that are lost in wildfires are due to embers and not the fire itself.
Daniel Berlant at Cal Fire. Defensible space, from your perspective, have people gotten the message a lot over the years? Are there still some problem areas where you're trying to convince people to remove the combustibles from right around their house?
You know, I think most people are very keen to these dry conditions and aware of the need for defensible space. 100 feet defensible space really does increase your home's chance of surviving a wildfire. And what we've seen several months now is people listening to that warning. And when we have these fires, those are the homes that survive. Now, we've had inspectors throughout the state out in communities working with homeowners, helping them with what they can do to make their home and their family more prepared and ready for fire season. We have a great website here in California, readyforwildfire.org, where the average homeowner can go and find what simple steps can they do to prepare for a fire. But it's not just about preparing, it's also preventing. And as you mentioned, it doesn't take much to spark a fire. People don't realize chains dragging from your vehicle can easily spark a fire. It is really everybody's responsibility to help prevent a fire, because really one less spark means one less wildfire.
So is it Cal Fire crews or local crews that go out and do you do audits with people and help them identify potential challenges on their property?
This year we were actually able to hire a dedicated defensible space inspectors from Cal Fire who go out and do those inspections. Again, we use the word inspection, but it's really educational. It's really about helping the homeowner prepare. Local fire departments across California also go out and provide that same service. Again, our goal is to help homeowners help themselves, because we know that if they do that work ahead of time, it's going to assist us when we get there to protect their home. But really, the homeowner has more to lose in a wildfire than we do. But it makes our job safer in being able to take a stand against the fire and protect their home.
So, Bob Schumacher, with the FireWise effort coming out of Grants Pass Fire Rescue, did you do trips around and look at the homes and help people with some decisions?
Yeah, that big part of my job is going out, looking at properties and assessing them and pointing out places where they can make improvements to be more safe from wildfire. Unfortunately, kind of, it's the ones that are already concerned about it are the ones that call me the most. The ones that haven't done the work don't necessarily call in, but we're trying to reach those people as well.
And what are some of the avenues you're using to try to find them?
Well, we've identified neighborhoods in the Grants Pass area that are more at risk, and we've sent direct mailings to those people. We've also done media. We have a website, grantspassfirewise.org, where people can go and get information on how to protect their house. Also, Ashland has one too. Ashlandfirewise.org has the same information. And the Rogue Valley Fire Preventive Co-op has a website also that has a lot of information. It's on how to protect your home. So the information is out there. We have a series of PSA commercials going on right now talking about the danger of embers.
All kinds of stuff for people to latch on to if they're interested. They got to be interested in the first place, though.
Daniel
Berland, I want to talk about fire fuel since you're in the wildland fire business here. I've heard firefighters over the years talk about 100-hour fuels, 1,000-hour fuels. What do those terms mean?
Well, that's the amount of time that it takes for a piece of vegetation to dry out. So let's use a grass as an example. Grass is a one-hour fuel. It only takes 1 hour of hot, dry conditions with gusty winds like we're seeing across much of Northern California to dry out all the moisture within that grass. So 10-hour fuel we'll see in some of the lighter brush, again, it takes 10 hours. So after less than 1 day of hot temperatures, low humidity, and gusty winds, all that moisture that was inside of that plant is sucked out. And what does that mean to us? Well, once that moisture is gone, it's going to be more flammable. It's going to burn a lot faster and a lot more intense. And so when we get these hot, dry days, the grass, the brush, and even the timber after several days or even several months like we've seen with very little rain and drought stress conditions allow the vegetation to burn, like I said, more intense. And so it is a concern this year with the drought, with the lack of rainfall. Our vegetation here did not get the moisture it needed throughout the winter to really allow itself to survive through a good portion of the spring and then start to go dormant during the summer. Most of it's been dry all year round. Now, while we did get some rain in March, unfortunately, that rainfall was not enough to really combat those drought conditions. So the fuel, the grass, the brush, the trees, they're much drier here in California than they normally would be.
And I'll throw this one to Bob Schumacher. It's an email that came in without a name attached. We don't generally go with the anonymous stuff, but it's an interesting question. How do we deal with a neighbor who doesn't do any weed whacking or preventive maintenance? So if the issue is not with your own house, but perhaps a neighboring house where you're concerned about their house going up in flames because of lack of maintenance?
Well, that's a question. I mean, if you live in a city that has ordinances that relate to that, it's a lot easier. You call the local law enforcement agency and they can help out on that. If you're out in the county areas, I know in Josephine County where I work, there really aren't any ordinances that can force somebody to cut their grass. That's one of the reasons we promote this FireWise program, where they look at FireWise protection on a neighborhood basis, because a lot of it is education. And if you can educate your neighbors as to why they need to cut their grass, that it's a fire danger rather than it just looks ugly, then they're more inclined to follow along.
And how short are we talking about cutting the grass anyway?
We usually recommend cutting it 4 inches or shorter.
Okay. Grass, weeds, the whole ball of wax, everything
just
that short.
Yeah, because the flame lengths usually are 2 to 3 times the height of the material. So if you cut it down to 4 inches, your flame lengths are going to be lower and there's less material to burn up in the air.
You had mentioned earlier that your people are trained to fight structure fires, but also cross-trained to fight wildland fires. Daniel Berland, I mean, the majority of folks from California, I mean, fighting for Cal Fire, working for Cal Fire, are fighting wildland fires solely, right? Not structural?
Actually, our department is an all-risk agency, so we respond to all types of emergencies, structure fires, vehicle fires. We have a lot of contracts and agreements with cities and counties across the state to provide full fire protection. So while we're most well known for our wildland response, we actually respond to just about anything in our local areas. But this time of year, wildfires are our number one and our biggest, obviously, incidents that we occur and that we respond to.
I'm curious, you mentioned that having to hire some firefighters starting in January. Is it getting difficult at all? Has it been difficult at all to find people available at times of the year when it normally is not fire season? And what are they doing other than fighting fires?
Typically, we would hire seasonal firefighters between May and October. And for the rest of the time period, those seasonal firefighters are either back in school, find other jobs, or are unemployed. So many were ready to go back and step back up to coming back much earlier. As I mentioned, we hired over 100 seasonal firefighters in January to help us here in Northern California respond to the increase in fire activity. Now, over the last several months, we've continued to hire more and more seasonal firefighters. Now, this year, Governor Brown, with the drought state of emergency, actually gave us the authority to hire 300 additional seasonal firefighters above and beyond our normal staffing levels to meet this increased demand. So we are now well-staffed up much earlier than normal. In fact, May would be the month we would typically be beginning to hire seasonal firefighters in our region, but that has already happened. We are already staffed up. We are already responding. But the increased staffing this year, those extra 300 firefighters, absolutely already been busy working as we've had fires, even this week, down in Mariposa County near Yosemite, and dozens others throughout Northern California.
All right, so the process already well underway on both sides of the state line. Fire season not yet declared on the Oregon side, but getting there probably very soon. Bob Schumacher in the studio here with me from Grants Pass Fire Rescue. Daniel Berlant is with Cal Fire. He's a public information officer. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And here is the Garrison Keillor for today.